Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is a podcast from Minute Media.
What's going on, Rams fans? Welcome back to Rams Showcase. Tonight, the Rams offensive line steals the headlines. Plus, offense finds balance. Rams find a dub. And later, time for revenge. We preview Rams at Cardinals. Next on Rams Showcase.
Welcome to Rams Showcase on Sports War Radio.
What's going on, Rams fans? And welcome back to Rams Showcase right here on Sports War Radio. I'm your host, Joe Branham, but you can and should call me Sheriff Joe Banks. I am laying down the law for you guys tonight. Lots of cool stuff to get into. We are, of course, going to be talking about this Rams offensive line, as well as this big old Rams dub over the Jacksonville Jaguars that happened in L.A. this weekend. And then on the other side, the back half here, we will be previewing the Rams and the Cardinals game. Is it time for revenge? I think so. I think it might be time for revenge, guys. But we'll go ahead and hop right in. I did want to, apologize for doing a poor job with these giveaways. Because what I did, I actually made a mistake that is extremely avoidable, and I should have avoided it last week, is I asked the question on a live stream. And then those comments disappeared. So I was not able to get anybody in for a contest giveaway this week. So that's my bad. But what I will go ahead and do is I will draw two names next week. And no, you cannot double up. You cannot be a double winner for this one. Okay? But I'm also getting a little bit of feedback here on my giveaways. Or I guess more accurately, the prize packs that are being sent out. That we don't only want to see decals and stuff like that. Maybe we're thinking some other stuff. All right, so I'm going to go ahead and reach out to Josh of Shaw's Customs to see what we can do about getting some other stuff in this giveaway. But also, I want to let you guys know that I'm also working with somebody else to see what we can do as far as different T-shirts. I think I teased that before, but we're going to keep on pushing that. We would like to get those out. It's not just going to be your basic Ram Showcase T-shirts. We're trying to get other stuff involved with that. So maybe some sick Sheriff Joe Bags quotes, something like that. If you guys got your favorite, feel free to drop it, and then we can see what we can do about getting that on a T-shirt for you guys, which is just going to be fun stuff. And also, if there's other decals that you guys like, maybe not necessarily just the Ram Showcase logo, but hey, maybe there's a way I could do my logo or something like that, the Sheriff Joe Bags logo. But I don't have a giveaway for you guys, like I said, unfortunately this week. I asked the question on a live stream last week when I was in Salt Lake City doing the show. If you guys are here with me every week, you guys saw that one. It was very different from the normal Ram Showcase episodes, but hey, considering the circumstances, I think we did pretty good. All right, we were in a different state, underprepared. We had very little equipment to work with, and it went okay. And then I was not able to do a live stream from SoFi Stadium this week because that service was just terrible. I was barely sending texts over there, man. So I don't know how I was supposed to live stream, which is unfortunate, but I mean, I had a blast. So I guess that's really all that matters to me. I don't know about you guys. I do apologize for not being able to get any inside, cool content going from the pink lot, which was honestly one of the sickest things I've ever experienced in my life. I loved it with all my heart, but we'll talk about that here in a second. But for this one, guys, because this is going to easily go down as one of my favorite Rams memories this last weekend. And so for this giveaway, all I'm going to ask you guys for is to give me your favorite Rams memory. That could be anything. That could be you watching the draft. That could be you watching a game. That could be you at a game. It could be meeting a player in an airport or something. That's not something that happened to me. I'm just using examples here. So anything that is your favorite moment that involves the Rams, I want to know that. And I know that these will kind of span all over the place, but feel free to drop them. If you're going to comment them on YouTube, what I need you to do is comment that on the full podcast version. That's where I pull those from. If you guys are not YouTubers or you guys are hearing me on the fan-sided network, then you guys can send me a message on the Ram Showcase Instagram page or Facebook page. The Twitter page, I will get those messages, but sometimes I miss those. I'm not extremely active on Twitter. I do apologize about that. But, I mean, hey, it's just me here, all right? I can't run all these social medias, okay? The social media eye. But we'll try to get some more information out there on that one because I do understand the benefits of Twitter. And I also know, like, a lot of the people that I interact with have been moving into the Twitter world off of places like Instagram and Facebook. Facebook mainly. Facebook, I feel like, is losing people, especially in the Joe generation, the generation of... because I'm 30, so like right in this gap here, I think people are getting a little bit fed up with it. And it's not just people in my age range also. It's also the younger crew that is not necessarily loving it. So we're branching off into other ones, but it's going to be some good stuff. But that's all I need from you guys to enter this giveaway. And we'll pick two winners from next week on the show for a giveaway, because we did kind of botch this last one. I was very ill prepared. I forgot the names for the giveaway for the previous week, so I do apologize about that one. What I think I'm gonna try to reach out to you guys individually, everybody who entered that one, and see what we could maybe do. See if we can get something cool going. But let's go ahead and hop into the bidness. All right, so we'll start with left tackle Andrew Whitworth. He is named the Rams nominee for the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award. And honestly, I feel like this just needs to happen already, all right? Andrew Whitworth has been, like, the one of the better dudes in the NFL for so many years, and he doesn't get, I think, enough credit for it, okay? So he's up now. He's our nominee, the Rams nominee for the Walter Payton NFL Man of the Year Award, which would be really cool to see him actually pull away with that one. I think he needs to see it before he retires, though. Okay, so if he doesn't win it this year, then Big Wit, hey man, we're gonna need you back again. All right, 2022 is calling your name. All right, Big Wit, we need you, man. We need you. But I think that Whit is absolutely deserving of this. If you guys live in Los Angeles or you guys follow Andrew Whitworth, the things that he participates in with the Los Angeles community, I think is absolutely awesome. So I think he's deserving. But hey, there's also 31 other dudes on that list who also are pretty deserving. There's only like one or two that was like, what are they doing? Like, I haven't heard them, you know what I mean? But I'm sure they're doing some awesome stuff as well. Let's move into some transactions here. / injuries. First, we're going to start with the Rams waiving wide receiver J.J. Koski. And I don't know a single Rams fan who is that upset about this move. It's not a reflection of the person of J.J. Koski. I'm sure he's a really cool dude, but he was not getting it done on the football field. So to see him waived, I'm not necessarily, super upset about this one. Let me make sure real fast. I've got some pages open here. So let me just make sure real fast that the Rams did not already put in the corresponding move for this one. And it does look like Mekhi Sargent, who was on the practice squad, who was pulled up. He is now added to the active roster. So I'm just now getting that news in here. So it's pretty recent information that did just come in on the waiver wire or the transaction wire here. So Mekhi Sargent looks like he's going to be officially part of that part of the roster now. And he did get a couple of carries in this last game. Daryl Henderson was active, did not get any touches, though. Now, he was kind of like an emergency back kind of situation as he was dealing with the injury that he had. So I did have in my notes here waiting for a corresponding move. Justin Hollins, ? But you know what? Mekhi Sargent being the one that kind of fills in that role, I have no issues with that. Justin Hollins, I know that we're still waiting for him to fully heal up and get ready to get back onto the football field. So he was put on IR a little earlier in the season, and we are anticipating him back. But you know what? Justin Hollins, I think adding him to our pass rush rotation is going to be awesome, and he was killing it early season. But we've also seen guys like T. Lou, Terrell Lewis, they've basically completely fallen out of the rotation. So I'm not sure what that's going to mean, Justin Hollins returning, what that's going to mean for guys like T. Lou, Terrell Lewis, and Obania Okoronkwo, who are struggling right now to get into the rotation, but are very good players. So, I mean, that's a good problem to have if you're a Rams fans. not necessarily great problems to have if you're those specific players, because now the Rams will be rocking with Leonard Floyd, Von Miller, and Justin Hollins, who is definitely starting caliber. So that'll be the main rotation, in my opinion, of what we see out there. Robert Rochelle is not expected to practice a lot this week, but he has not been ruled out Monday night against the Arizona Cardinals. So we'll kind of keep eyeballs on that one and see what his practice status is later in the week to see if he could potentially be inactive, which I don't know if I necessarily anticipate or not. It's kind of difficult to tell with his injury. It's really up in the air right now for Robert Rochelle. So, hey, it could be, you know, DLJ day. So David Long Jr., maybe he can get in there and get some good reps. But of course, these are the I don't want to say the middle of the depth chart as far as corners go. So it could be a lot worse. It's really unfortunate still, though, to see a guy like Robert Rochelle go down. I think Robert Rochelle is extremely talented. He's just very raw. So I'm really excited to see what he can do with those reps. So these reps are very important to him for his development as he progresses into his career. So we also, on the offensive line side, more offensive line news. Brian Allen went out after one play. Very first Rams offensive play. I remember seeing it from my angle. I was like, dude, that's B-Al. He's out already? And then it turns out he did suffer a sprained MCL. Coleman Shelton did replace him, though, at the center spot, which, I'll be honest, I was a little bit surprised. I thought it would be just a little shifty shift with, you know, maybe Corbett moving in and then Shelton getting guard snaps or something like that. But that is not the case. Coleman Shelton did take those center snaps, which is, hey, A-okay with me, man, because if you guys are regulars here on Ram Showcase, then you would know that I've been a Coleman Shelton guy from the very start. All right, so going back to the training camp days, I was all about Coleman Shelton. I wanted him to be the starter. And then, of course, Brian Allen, he was playing well. But let's not just ignore the fact that Coleman Shelton in this Rams offensive line played awesome, okay? They had an awesome day. And then we also did see some other shifting on the offensive line. And actually, we saw a decent, I don't want to say too much, but we did see the Rams sprinkle in some looks where they had six offensive linemen out there, which is awesome. But we'll talk about all of that here in just a second with the way that this team kind of handled the game, I guess, just the way that they were handling the Jaguars defense. So let's go ahead and take a look at it, though. Let's look back at this game. But first, before we get into the game, I thank you to everybody and to the city of Los Angeles. I had an absolutely amazing time. So first and foremost, I just have to give out some thank yous. Some names that I know I left off, and I do apologize about that. If I left your name off, you don't feel like it's a personal attack or anything, okay? It was a lot of things going on this weekend, and it was kind of bananas the entire time. But definitely a huge, you know, shout out to the squad that I was hanging out with out there. First, members of the Colorado Springs squad, people that I watch football games with every single weekend here. So super pumped to hang out on the beach with Aaron and Misty. That I thought that was such an awesome time. I did not want to leave. It was perfect. I loved it. It was so much fun. And then the others with me as well, other Aaron, his cousin Joel and his wife Katie, man. It was just such a great time being out there. What we did is we went to the Venice Beach Boardwalk and we checked it out there. And it was just such an awesome time, man. That was my first time, honestly, seeing an ocean with my own eyeballs. So I had been to the Gulf before, but that's kind of like a fake ocean. This was my first time seeing a real live ocean right there. And yeah, we kind of walked out onto the sand and stuff like that. Got foot cramps for sure. It was awesome. It's hard to complain, though, because the views, the sights, everything, it was unbelievable. So to those five, for sure, absolutely amazing time. Thank you as well. But to the people who hosted us there, who hosted me and my friends and made the experience of a Rams game day just absolutely incredible. And first is Chris, who I sat with at the game. I'll put a picture up of me and Chris standing right where our seats were, looking over the field, which was just an awesome time. Chris is absolutely great. If you guys don't know Chris, well, first of all, you're missing out because Chris is awesome. Big Ram. Big Ram, man. It's super cool. I did not even think that this was going to be a thing that happened, so it was really cool. I kind of like walk around the corner and see Big Ram standing there. I was like, dude, okay, this is great. AJ, who I've been Facebook friends with for years, I mean, just kind of walking down the aisle, spot him. He gives me a shot at like 11 a.m., and that's when the party really started. So AJ, thanks, man. Deshaun, the man who actually runs the Compton Mania. Maybe I'll throw that shirt on for the back half here, the Compton Mania shirt that I was able to pull. And honestly, Deshaun is one of the better humans that I know in my life. Top three of the top best people I know, if not the best. So, hey, man, so cool to finally meet you in person. Lance, the big seed. Man, this was really cool. I didn't even see Lance. He found me. He saw the name on the back of my jersey, and it was really cool. Big seed. If you guys know the Melonheads, he's the one that started that. I've had him on the show before. I've interviewed him, but was able to meet him in person. I think I've got a picture of that one, too, that we'll put up as well. And then Maurice, who we've interacted on Facebook plenty of times and stuff like that. And then I didn't even actually know that he was going to be out there until I think it was like the day of that I was getting out there. And man, it was just super, super cool to meet you, man. And everybody else as well. And then also, I mean, those were just people that were like kind of like running some stuff and you know, being welcoming in that regard. But some of the homies I was able to meet, people that I've been like Facebook friends with for years, people on the internet that I've just known for so long. But first, I mean, well, John, who is an actual listener of the show. So what's up, man? That was super cool. It's hard to put into words how much it means to me when like somebody will tap me on the shoulder and just say something simple like, hey, man, love the show. If you guys see me in public, please keep doing that. I love it so much. And then I love to stop and chat with people and stuff. It's just so cool. But that feeling, I'm out here in Colorado doing this show. I talk about the Rams. And then, I mean, these lights shut off and I'm sitting here in this dark room just putting a video together, you know. And the fact that it's reaching people and that you guys are enjoying it means the world to me to hear that kind of stuff. Jennifer and Selena, that was so cool to meet you guys. Kelly, Alvin, I've been friends with forever. Jeff, Greg, Matt, Mark F. Dude, Mark F. has been like talking trash on my Facebook post for years and putting like these ridiculous comments and stuff like that, man. Definitely appreciated meeting you. That was super cool meeting you and your son. Awesome. And then Mark M. as well, man. It's like these names that I've seen on social media for all these years and to shake hands and to take photos and stuff. It was, I mean, just... it's unbelievable. And thanks to you guys, to everybody I just listed and more that I know I forgot. So I do apologize about that. But to all of you guys, thank you. Thank you so much for making this weekend just absolutely incredible. I definitely just appreciate you guys more than you guys know. I appreciate you guys sincerely. But then SoFi, of course, SoFi Stadium, the main attraction there, except for our boys in blue over there, the LA Rams. But it's still unbelievable, man. You walk in there still to this day. Like, I mean, it was only one other time. It was only my second time there. So I'm sure other people have been there plenty more times, but you still walk in there and that screen just grabs your eyeballs, man. And it's just, it's unreal. It's absolutely amazing. The food was at where I was at, unbelievable. It was amazing. I wanted more, but I didn't want to miss the game and leave and go back. But it also wasn't the normal concessions. It was the Korean barbecue place, man. Oh, man, that Korean barbecue was the fuegness. Oh, top notch. I loved that with my whole heart. But you know what? I think I've just come to terms with the fact that SoFi Stadium is an absolutely incredible experience every single time. Let's get into the game, though. The Rams did defeat the Jacksonville Jaguars 37-7. My buddy Aaron called that one. He kept saying, Rams by 30, Rams by 30. So nailed it on that one. 37-7 victory for the LA Rams. The Rams showed a really good balance on the offensive side of the football here. 126 rushing yards, and that's just from the backs only on 26 carries. Two carries came from Mekhi Sargent, who is now on the active roster. And then the Rams also put up 295 passing yards from Matthew Stafford. So, the balance is massive there. The balance is huge, all right? So I think we now see, and we know that hopefully Sean is seeing as well, that when you have that kind of balance, very good things happen. You can win time of possession. You can keep the football in your hands, keep it out of the opposing offense's hands, which, I mean, Trevor Lawrence and that Jaguars offense wasn't lighting anything up by any means. Defense had a really strong day, which is not something I've said a whole lot this season, but it was really good to see. It's against the Jags, who were 31st in points scored entering the game, but that was like over, it was about 15.7, if I'm not mistaken, that they were putting up a game. So to hold them under their averages is what I was looking for. I wasn't looking for the Rams just to beat up on the Jags. It was to hold them under their averages on offense, and they did that. But the Rams also just, they just felt more in sync, and like they were just having a good time out there. That's something that we haven't seen the last three games in the three-game losing streak. We didn't see them look like they were just having a blast out there. So that was really good to see. But again, like I said, sure, it's against the Jags, but 30 points is a big win in the NFL, and the Jags are still an NFL team. And if you can pull off a 30-point win against any NFL team, you're doing pretty good, all right? Doing pretty good. I don't care who that team is or who you are. That's some pretty good stuff. And because the Rams got a big old dub, we are bringing back the game badge. Put it up, Sony Michel. 24 carries, 121 yards. Did have one touchdown, 5 yards per carry average. It's absolutely incredible. This is not something we've seen very often, is the Rams giving the football to one guy 24 times on the ground. Weird what happens when you can run the football and you do it consistently, okay? So this was the Rams' first 100-plus yard rusher of the season. We were waiting for Daryl Henderson to hit that. Hendo could not. And Sony was the one that was able to get it done. And this did allow the Rams to maintain the time of possession. And they ended with a total of 33 minutes and 45 seconds. So it wasn't just like over-the-top crazy time of possession, but it was very, very strong. Moving on, quarterback Matthew Stafford went 26 of 38, 295 yards, 3 TDs, and 0 picks. He had one or two from my angle, which was honestly a little bit difficult to see some stuff, especially on the far end, but a couple of throws where you're like, what was that? but overall, I think he played really, really well. And this is the kind of game that I think we wanted out of Matthew Stafford, but running off the play action like that, he was able to hit some guys deep. He was hitting people underneath. This, to me, is seeing Matthew Stafford in this game, that's kind of what I anticipated seeing out of Matthew Stafford in this Rams offense. But he also looks a lot better when the run game is actually a big threat, all right? But this Cardinals defense is definitely going to be a bigger threat. So let's see if that can leak over into the future weeks we have coming up. Wide receiver Cooper Kupp had 8 catches for 129 yards and 1 touchdown. Felt like a good old-fashioned Cooper Kupp day, even though his first reception did not come until late in the second quarter. Wide receiver Van Jefferson, 6 catches for 41 yards, 1 touchdown. Had that awesome touchdown in the back of the end zone, and I wanted to put it up here for you guys because I actually had a pretty sick angle of Van Jefferson's touchdown, and so I wanted to share my video and what I look like when I'm in the stands watching an LA Rams game. Hit it! And this is me celebrating, guys. This is the perfect thing. For you guys audio listeners, I do apologize. You guys are just going to have to go to YouTube and check it out. But the 8 targets for Van Jefferson, he's basically replaced those Woods targets. So the number of targets that Woods was getting about, that's kind of shifting over to Van Jefferson, and he's the one getting those now. Wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr., OBJ, Brodale Beckham Jr., 2 catches for 28 yards, 1 touchdown. He is still working his way into becoming part of this Rams offense, and he's still getting comfortable with Matthew Stafford, but I think that that's coming over time, and I think that we're going to see one of these games, and I don't know who it's going to be, one of these next games to wrap up the season, because we got week 14, 15, 16, 17, 18 now, then one of these games, I think he's going to have a breakout game, and he's going to put up like 138 and 2 touchdowns or something like that, and then we're going to be like, oh, that's why we signed Bro BJ. All right, and then it's going to be good to go. And I just wanted to give a special shout out to kicker Matt Gay. He is playing really, really well right now. He went 3 for 3 on field goals, 4 for 4 on extra points, and I can almost guarantee that I now have just caused him to miss every kick for the rest of the season because I said he's playing really well. So sorry about that, Matt, but hey, good luck to you the rest of the season. Not actually too many like bad weather games either. It looks like even because like Minnesota is, I don't even know if that's at home actually. I know we go to Baltimore, so that really looks like the only one that I can think of on our schedule that would be like a bad weather game. So everything else looks like we're going to be domed or covered up, so it's going to be good to go. I'm not sure if Arizona will be open. We usually don't hear about that for about 24 hours before the game. So let's go ahead and hop into a quick break here. And on the other side, we got the rest of the West as well as the playoff picture. Don't move. All right, let's get into the rest of the West, what those other three dweebs are up to. We'll start with the Arizona Cardinals, the Rams' next opponent, who were able to defeat the Chicago Bears 33-22. Kyler Murray, just 11 of 15, 123 yards. Did have two touchdowns, no interceptions, though. It was a pretty bad weather game, so I think that played a lot into the factor of Murray not being heavily used in the pass game. But the Bears, if you look at the stat lines, if you look at everything that went into this game, first downs, all that stuff, all the way down the list, you would think, and without the score, you would think that the Bears won. But there's that one pesky little stat line there. The turnovers proved to be fatal for the Chicago Bears as Andy Dalton threw four interceptions to that Arizona Cardinals defense. But you know what? Also, if you watch the game, if you kind of watch highlights or anything like that, eyeball test would tell you that the Cardinals really weren't playing poorly. They just kind of, it seemed like the Bears were just doing a pretty good job. So this is, I'm kind of curious because if the Cardinals really does feel like they got outplayed a little bit by the Chicago Bears. Chicago Bears, excuse me, they came to play in that game. So that kind of is an interesting thing to me when looking into this next game. The Cardinals coming off of that one. But also, I was given the predictions that I thought it was going to be a pretty close game. I didn't think the Cardinals were going to come in and just absolutely destroy the Bears. Kind of felt like they were just going to kind of go in, take a lead, and cruise it out. You know what I mean? So nothing too crazy. But for Week 14, the Arizona Cardinals will host the LA Rams 5:15 on ESPN on Monday Night Football. Let's move over to the Seattle Seahawks, who did take on the 49ers. Seahawks won that game 23-30 for the Seattle Seahawks. I think everybody was picking this game wrong. Who expected the 49ers to lose to the Seattle Seahawks? Russell Wilson was sacked four times, but he was also 30 of 37, 231 yards, two touchdowns, and one interception. The 146 rushing yards and two interceptions, that really helped the Seahawks win the time of possession, and that's really where this dub came from. Russell Wilson just kind of maintaining the game. Of course, four sacks, you don't want to see that. If you're a Seahawks fan, we love to see it. Week 14, the Seattle Seahawks will go to Houston at 10 o'clock, and that game will be played on Fox. So it looks like the Seahawks would be able to potentially string together a couple of dubs as those Houston Texans get beat up by just about everyone and are the opposite of the Green Bay Packers and could get swept by the NFC West instead of the opposite. For the other side of that, the 49ers losing to the Seattle Seahawks 23-30. Elijah Mitchell had 22 carries, but just for 66 yards. That's a 3-yard average. Not incredible. But George Kittle, 9 receptions for 181 yards and 2 touchdowns. And it looks like Debo could be returning this next week. I think that Kittle was heavily featured because of the absence of Debo. But this just goes to show that if there was something that were to happen to Debo and to Kittle, I think that Jimmy Garoppolo crumbles hard. All right, he's out here folding like a table in Buffalo or something, because he's got his favorite targets, and I think he struggles to get away from that when that is the case. But week 14, the San Francisco 49ers will be at the Cincinnati Bengals. This game's at 1:25 on CBS. So an interesting game there. And I'm not 100% sure exactly how to predict this game. I think on the NFC West roundtable, I think I gave this one a 1-point win for the Bengals. And I think that I really went with the Bengals because they're going to be the home team. So I don't know. It's a tough game to pick, though. Both those teams are very difficult to nail down. 49ers, I felt like the 49ers were going to do a really good job this season. That was coming into the year. And then I saw them play and I was like, oh no, they're not very good. And then they go on this three game little streak here. And it's like, oh wait, are they who I thought they were? And then they lose to Seattle. And it's like, oh wait, are they who I thought they were then? Not when I thought they were then or that back then, you know? Let's take a look at the standings real fast in the NFC West. We'll start with the Arizona Cardinals, who still lead the division at 10-2. The LA Rams in second at 8-4. And San Fran is back down to 500, 6-6. And the Seattle Seahawks are one loss away from giving Russell Wilson his first losing season of his NFL career. So that could absolutely happen. Not sure if it happens this week against the Houston Texans, however, but the Rams do get one more game against the Seattle Seahawks. So worst case scenario, we can handle that business on our own, you know what I mean? And hand that to Russell Wilson, who I do believe is in his last few games as a Seattle Seahawk. I also am not super confident that Pete Carroll will return as well, but hey, those are off-season conversations that we'll have after the Rams get this ring, all right? And after guys like Matthew Stafford are holding up Super Bowl trophies and stuff. Then we could talk about that, you know what I mean? Let's go ahead and look at the playoff picture. Arizona Cardinals with that one seed. Green Bay Packers just below them and do hold the tiebreaker over the Arizona Cardinals if they can finish the season with the same record. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at 9-3. The Rams hold the tiebreaker over them. The Dallas Cowboys are 8-4, still leading that NFC East. Your wild card team starts with your LA Rams at 8-4. And then you have the Washington football team and San Francisco 49ers both sitting at 500 with 6-6 records. And then we look at your bubble teams just sitting on the outside. I'll be honest with you guys, I have zero confidence in any of these teams. I think that all of these teams are getting more credit than they should. I don't think that these teams are playoff teams. I don't think the Eagles, Vikings, Panthers, or Falcons are good enough to be playoff teams. And if they are able to kind of wiggle their way in over the Washington football team or San Francisco 49ers, I think that they're first round exits. So I have little confidence in those teams. I just, you know, it's look at what the Minnesota Vikings just did, giving Jared Goff his first dub in Detroit. Great game, but what the heck was that coverage? If that's going to be your kind of play calling in that kind of situation, you're not a playoff team, all right? Simple as that. If you're going to be only covering the back 5 yards of the end zone in that kind of situation, you're just not a playoff team. Philadelphia Eagles, I think that the Jalen Hurts is just way too inconsistent. Carolina Panthers, they had one dope game with Cam Newton, and then everybody lost their minds. And then what have they done since? Not a whole lot. And then the Atlanta Falcons, sitting at 5-7, I just don't think that they're good enough on defense to make any real strides. We will go ahead and hop into another break here. And on the other side, we got the Rams at Cardinals preview. Don't move! Check that link in the description below to get to Shaw's Customs directly and see what is in store there. And you can check it all out and buy some sick stuff. I can guarantee that if you purchase a Rams logo and then just leave a little comment saying, hey, I like that Rams showcase one, man, I guarantee he'll give you that one. Can confirm. That is going to be in the description below. A link to Shaw's Customs. So make sure you hit it up, guys. Make sure you hit it up. We've got some good stuff. And then I will also be getting back with All Pro Sports here soon, especially for some other shirts and stuff like that. Some awesome things that we got going on. I got to get some more conversations in before we get that rolling out. But we'll absolutely get that for you guys. Now, let's go ahead and take a look at this game preview. We got the LA Rams taking on the Arizona Cardinals. This game will be on Monday Night Football with Steve Levy. And that's going to be a 5:15 p.m. Pacific Time kickoff on ESPN. And I do believe that the Manning cast is back for this one. Love the Manning cast. Respect the Manning cast. Support the Manning cast. And believe there's an audience for that Manning cast. I'm not part of it. I just want a normal broadcast. I don't want all these ridiculous jokes and stuff like that. I definitely see its place, and I definitely see its value. Just not necessarily for me. If you guys enjoy it, hey, I'm not bashing you one bit, all right? Manning cast is cool, but I'm just going to be on the regular broadcast. So for this game, what we're really looking at is the Rams lost to the Arizona Cardinals in week four just this season. That was a 37-20 win for the Arizona Cardinals. And the Cardinals, with that win, broke an 8-game streak that the Rams had over the Arizona Cardinals. That was Cliff Kingsbury's first time defeating Sean McVay. And if you guys, you know, were here for my look back on that one, it just, the Rams just felt off that day. It just didn't feel like a good day. And that happens. We see that with this team sometimes where the, you know, we've mentioned it with Jared Goff in the past years where on that first drive, if Jared Goff hits 0-for-3 on the first drive and we punt, it's like, oh, this is going to be one of those days. You know, it just kind of, it felt like that all game that like we couldn't really get it going. And we've had other games like that as well. Even more recently, you can look at those games. I mean, Packers game was one of them that just, it seemed just a little out of sync. And I know that this team is looking at this game. They lost at home to the Arizona Cardinals, a division opponent. You got to think they really want to get that one back, right? So I don't know if this will be one of those again. I really, really hope not. That's the best that I can give you guys right now on that one, because it's hard to also get overly confident when you're coming off a win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. And like I said earlier, I mean, a 30-point win in the NFL is huge no matter who you're playing against, but I want to see it against really strong teams as well. And luckily, we have really strong teams, except outside of like the Minnesota Vikings, for the rest of the season. The Rams have some pretty tough games here. So you get three division games, all three division opponents, including the Arizona Cardinals. Then you also got the Baltimore Ravens. I mean, there's some tough games. Some tough games that the Rams have, but the Arizona Cardinals are the first team to get to 10 wins on the season. So they are definitely sitting in that number one seed in the NFC. And if the Rams can defeat the Arizona Cardinals, the Cardinals would drop to 10-5 and the Rams would increase to 9-4. So they would be right there. And all we would need is just a little bit of help from somebody else to get into possibly the one seed. I'm not sure because, of course, the Rams would not have the tiebreaker against the Green Bay Packers as well, but do have it over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So this race for the one seed, the Rams are absolutely still in it, all right? Don't you for one second think that the Rams are out of this playoff race or anything like that, even though that three-game losing streak happened. We were 7-1 at a time, and now we're 8-4. So we're still sitting in a pretty good spot here. And I definitely think at worst, the Rams do end with the 5 seed. I think that feels very real that the Rams could be sitting right in there. So, we had also the NFC West Roundtable. There was a question that I would like to pose to you guys as well. And I loved the question. It was a great question. And basically, the question is just this. It's if the Arizona Cardinals defeat the LA Rams, do they win the West? I mean, is it just too far gone? I'll give you guys my answer. I think yes. I think if the Arizona Cardinals win this game, I don't see the Cardinals losing enough games to get the Rams back ahead of them at all. So, but how poetic would it be if the Arizona Cardinals steal first place from the LA Rams in week four, and then with just a couple games to go, the Rams are able to creep back into that number one spot in first place in the NFC West? That'd be pretty poetic, wouldn't it? But of course, the Cardinals don't clinch the division, at least to my knowledge. They don't clinch the division with a win over the Rams, but it becomes very, very difficult for the Rams to get ahead of them. And like I said, if the Cardinals win this game, I just don't see the Cardinals losing enough games after this one to fall down and let the Rams pass them for that first spot. So if the Rams lose this game, I do think it's a wild card. But if the Rams win this game, just need just a touch of help, just a skosh of help from the outside, and then we can maybe get into the top four and host a playoff game. Speaking of hosting a playoff game, if you guys are interested in learning more about getting potential playoff tickets, head over to therams.com. They've got the information listed there. Let's take a look at the history of this matchup. The Rams do lead the all-time series 45-39, and that is a 53.5 50% winning percentage, which is, hey, that's awesome. If you're over 50%, you're doing fine. But the Rams do have six more wins over the Cardinals than they have. 45-39. It's pretty solid. All right. First ever game between these two came on October 3rd of 1937. That was the Chicago Cardinals versus the Cleveland Rams and was a 6-0 win for the Cardinals. The most recent game between these two came on October 3rd, 2021, just earlier this season. 37-20 win for the Arizona Cardinals. And we've seen a lot of iterations of Rams versus Cardinals, and I have them all listed here for you guys because those are the kinds of things that Sheriff Joe Bags brings to you guys. It started with Cleveland versus Chicago. Then it went to Los Angeles versus Chicago, Los Angeles versus St. Louis, Los Angeles versus Phoenix, Los Angeles versus Arizona, St. Louis versus Arizona, and then back to Los Angeles versus Arizona. As far as the Cardinals being called Phoenix Cardinals, the Rams only defeated the Phoenix Cardinals only one time, 1-4 record, only just five matchups though. And the St. Louis Rams never played the Phoenix Cardinals, but hey, all over the place. Both of these teams have played in three different cities, and the second city for each of these teams was the city of St. Louis. And the city of St. Louis did lose both of these teams to their current homes, which is Los Angeles and Arizona. Let's take a look at the matchup. We will start with the Rams offense, who does currently rank fifth in the NFL, just 0.6 yards off of putting up 400 a game, going against, though, the number five defense in the Arizona Cardinals, who are doing an awesome job this year on that side of the football. The Rams, third in passing, 289 out of Matthew Stafford, and just a couple here from the Wolf. And then the Cardinals are tied for fourth against the pass. Running the football, the Rams, 97.9, sounds like a sweet radio station, 23rd in the NFL, but the Cardinals defense, 16th, so just a little bit higher, but that is their weak spot. But that's also what the Rams just don't really do a whole lot, is run the football. And then the Rams are putting up 28 points a game, tied for fifth. The Arizona Cardinals giving up under 19, and that is fourth place in the NFL. So, you know what? This is basically your perfect matchup. This is basically strength on strength. Fifth ranked offense versus fifth ranked defense. Third ranked passing offense versus fourth ranked passing defense. Tied for fifth in points on offense for the Rams. Fourth in points allowed for the Cardinals. So it's like your perfect matchup here. And we'll see who kind of comes out on top of this one. It's quite the matchup, especially late season for a division game on Monday Night Football. So prime time, it's absolutely perfect. We'll see what Cooper Kupp can do. First player to 100 receptions. He is currently on pace for 141.6, which the record is 149. He's currently on pace for 1,935 yards. That's just 29 below the NFL record, which is 1,964. So he's sitting right there at a good spot, but let's also not pretend like that wasn't in a 16-game season that these records were set. So he's really not on pace to defeat these records, but he is absolutely on pace, or could be potentially on pace if he can just increase those averages just a little bit. He could become the new record holder and start the 17-game season holding this record with which everybody would be getting their eyeballs on to try to beat. Let's go to the other side of the football here. Cardinals offense versus the Rams defense. Cardinals offense ranks 10th in the NFL right now. The Rams defense is 13th. I know that feels weird that they are climbing back up there, but hey, those averages helped quite a bit against those Jacksonville Jaguars. Passing the ball, the Cardinals just on the outside of the top 10, while the Rams are right in the middle of the road at 16. And then running the ball, top 10 for the Arizona Cardinals with 124. And then the Rams are giving up just barely over 100 a game, and that is 7th. The Cardinals putting up some points, 28.6, so just barely more than the Rams offense is putting up, but it is more. And then the Rams defense is giving up 22.5 per game, which is tied for 16th, so middle of the road there as well. The Rams are doing a pretty good job on the road, though, with 8 picks on the road, but only 4 at home. So I'm not sure exactly what could possibly be causing that. And if you guys want to look into these numbers more yourself, where I get this information, by the way, stuff like the splits, is I go to footballdb.com. That's footballdatabase.com, or database if you're a jerk. But That's where I get a lot of that information at. So if you guys, hey, look it up yourselves, guys, also, and find other cool bits of information and little cool things that when you're talking to somebody who's a Cardinals fan, you can be like, well, the Rams do this in the second quarter. You push up your glasses like that, like a dork. And then you can just kind of throw that kind of stuff out there. It's really cool. But that's where I find that information. But hey, the Rams are doing a good job on the road on defense. And I don't know if that's like something that the Rams kind of like come together and pull together when they're on the road instead of being at home. But hey, whatever is working is working. And I think that we all want to see that continue, right? Especially against a division opponent who has a potential MVP candidate in there, a potential Super Bowl team, potential. I'm not saying the Cardinals are going there. I'm just saying they definitely are playing some good ball this season. Take a look at the three to see. Look back at the game against the Jacksonville Jaguars. We had Jalen Ramsey, who was drafted by the Jags in the first round a few years back. He had three total tackles in that early fumble recovery. I really wanted to see that fumble recovery go to the crib, but it did not happen. Looks like Trevor Lawrence was barely able to get there. And there was a great picture of Jalen Ramsey on Trevor Lawrence for that one, which was really funny if you guys didn't get a chance to see it. Classic photo. Definitely a classic, but if I find it, I'll put it up. If I didn't put it up, that means I didn't find it. But yeah, very good stuff there. Quarterback Matthew Stafford, 26 of 38, 295, three touchdowns and zero interceptions. So, hey, did fine. Limited his mistakes. Didn't throw a pick six this time. Hard to complain about that. I also had listed Ben Skowronek as on my three to see. Or Van Jefferson, but that was all conditional on if Ben Skowronek played, which he did. Had a big third down drop, which he definitely should have had. But hey, made up for it on a big 35-yard reception, which was pretty sweet to watch. Pretty cool stuff. Showing some flashes like he's taking some tips from Cooper Kupp out here and playing some good ball. But the Arizona Cardinals, 3-C. First, we're going to start with Ernest Jones. The last time these two teams played, Chase Edmonds averaged 10 yards a carry. Cannot let that happen in this one. Run defense will be huge, and we still don't have our best run defender at the linebacker spot, which was Kenny Young. Of course, we're not going to get him back, but Ernest Jones is going to be a big part of this, and he's definitely taking over that top linebacker spot. He's getting more reps than guys like Troy Reader, so he is the guy. Ernest Jones is now the guy, and I think at this point, like, we'll get into our awards later on after week 18 is done, but Ernest Jones looks like he's pretty much Rams Rookie of the Year by default at this point, but also not by default because he's playing some really good football. Next up, we have wide receiver Van Jefferson. In the first meeting, he led the team in yards with receiving. He led the team in receiving yards with 90 on six receptions that led the team in both those categories. The Cardinals, they took away Cooper Kupp, and if they do that again, you would expect that Van Jefferson and or Brodell Beckham Jr. To be featured pretty heavy in this game. So I kind of want to put a little asterisk there of saying that it could be OBJ that kind of is the guy that gets those targets. Could this be a breakout game for him? We'll kind of see. But Van Jefferson is who I'm going to go with here because he was in the first meeting the leading receiver for the Rams. And then the last one here, I'm going to go with Edge. Just Edge in general, because Kyler Murray is a little squirrely guy, and you gotta try to contain him. And the Rams did a very poor job of maintaining or containing this Cardinals offense at all in their first meeting. In fact, if you watch that game, I'm not even sure what the game plan was to stop Kyler Murray. It wasn't to keep him in the pocket. It wasn't to flush him out. It just kind of seemed like they were doing whatever they wanted to. So the edge rushers are going to be huge in this one. Von Miller, of course, wasn't here in week four, so that's going to be a big difference going into this game that Kyler Murray did not see in the first matchup. And then Leonard Floyd, of course, those guys both will have their hands full with Kyler Murray. So hopefully what happens here is they can kind of squeeze that pocket and guys like AD can eat up in the middle, man, and then just kind of get Kyler Murray on his back. Okay, put him on that number one. We've seen it before where Aaron Donald can just kind of like, he just kind of brush against Kyler Murray and he like flies away because Aaron Donald could bench probably like seven Kyler Murrays. So, I mean, it's easy if we can get Aaron Donald to Kyler Murray. He just got to get one of them big old paws on him, and it's just about over. Okay, so, but just can't let Kyler run loose on us like we did in that first meeting. That's going to be the main key here. We'll go ahead and hop into one more quick break here, and on the other side, we got fan quesos. Don't move. All right, let's go ahead and hop into our fan quesos, brought to you by Sean's Quesos. And I do, by the way, I apologize if you guys are getting wind sounds in here. I don't think it's coming through, but it's mad windy outside right now. My windows are whistling, all right, because these windows are from the same year that I think Abraham Lincoln was around. So it's, they're old. All right. Anyway, that's my joke. They're old. Let's go ahead and start with this queso from John. Let's see here. The majority of the league appears to be moving to pass-dominant offensive schemes. I suspect defenses are being able to adapt to defend the pass more so than defend the run. Do you think that a team that is bold enough to go the other direction and build a run-dominant offense might have a mismatch advantage in today's NFL? Man, I'll be honest. I think we just saw that. I think we just saw that on Monday. I know your question came in on Monday. But I think that that's exactly what we saw with the New England Patriots, who were able to get the run game going, and they didn't pass basically at all. So what we're looking at here, like, sorry, I'm trying to like do multiple things here at once, but what they threw the football three times, all right, 19 passing yards for the New England Patriots, and they dominated the game. They played fine. So, yeah, I think that, like, A, I hope that Sean McVay saw that game. And then also, I mean, you look at the way that NFL offenses are built today, very, like, exciting, very flashy, very vertical. And, of course, you have teams that are addressing that. Instead of having, like, one really, really good corner and then another one who's, like, pretty good and then your backups, teams are now needing, you know, four good corners, and you also need good safeties who can also play against the run, so they're kind of asked to do a whole lot more. Edge rushers are becoming more important now because of just the amount of passes that the defenses are going against. So yeah, I absolutely think that if a team went just like really run heavy, they would have a big mismatch advantage against most NFL defenses, because it is a passing league today. And defenses know that. It's not a secret to defenses that they need to be able to cover the pass. But my only concern really with that would be practice and training camp. Just because your offense is like that doesn't mean that everybody else is doing it. So you also still want to be able to prepare your defense in those settings to be able to go against teams like the Cardinals, Bucks, Rams, who have just weapons for days. Like, just down the list is weapons, like third, fourth guys on the wide receiver depth chart who could be number ones on some teams. You know what I mean? Like, so that's the only thing that I would necessarily bring up about that situation, is I would want to see something, some way to prepare your own defense to go against what the rest of the NFL is doing. But it would absolutely create a big advantage for your offense if you can just run it down people's throats. I think it would be huge. Next question here comes from Alex. Do you think this could be OBJ's breakout game? You know what? I absolutely think it's possible. And one reason, the biggest reason why, I would say, is because we know that the Arizona Cardinals are going to put a lot of attention on Cooper Kupp, and they did that in week 4 and basically took him pretty much out of the game. That was, so far, Cooper Kupp's worst performance stat-wise was against the Arizona Cardinals. So I think it is huge. It is absolutely huge to take him away. But now the Rams do have access to like Van Jefferson and Odell Beckham Jr. Of course, Robert Woods would have been another guy that I would have talked about if he wasn't on IR right now. But yeah, I think that OBJ could be a little bit ignored because he has not gotten an abundance of targets yet. He has not gotten like just an insane stat line yet. So yeah, I think that absolutely could be the case. And I also think, I mean, the Arizona Cardinals also have the internet, and they know that Van Jefferson was the leading receiver for the Rams the first time we played him. So they didn't get a play against OBJ in the first one. So hey, maybe that's like kind of the secret sauce. All right, maybe we just needed OBJ to kind of just open up some more things. But yeah, I absolutely think it's possible. Next one here is from Tyler. Do you think the Rams stick with Sony as the number one back? And when Akers is back, where do you see him falling in the depth chart? I think that we'll see Sony and Hendo get a lot more evenly split now. That's what I'll say. Because, yes, Sony had an awesome day against the Jaguars, okay? And this is where it's important to me, the opponent, because let's not pretend like the Jags are just some dominant team, all right? And actually, I can pull up the numbers here from a week ago to see exactly what they ranked against the run. They were tied for 20th, so let's not overreact to Sony's day. Big day, awesome to see, but let's not overreact to it. And let's not also forget that Daryl Henderson is a good running back. I think it'll just mean some more even splits between the two. And when Akers is back, I don't anticipate him being that heavily used. I think that when he returns, which I'm now seeing his workouts and stuff like that, I do anticipate him coming back, but I don't think we'll see him get over 10 carries in a game. I just don't think that they will just run him into the ground like that. I think we'll be pretty soft with him. Edwin's got three for me. What's up, Juan? What was your favorite part about being back at SoFi? Dude, I mean, honestly, that's my happy place, man. Like, I love it there. I don't want to leave ever. I never want to leave there. It's like, I don't know. It's so great being in there. It's my happy place. I want to live there. I want to find a way to not leave. I don't know. It's just the best. It's the Rams home, man. It's home is where the Rams are. And that's SoFi, man. It's just an incredible venue. It's gorgeous. You've been there. I've seen your photos, man. You've been there. You've seen it. I like the lighting of it. I think it makes our colors pop. I think the screen is unbelievable. I like the way the field looks. It looks, players look fast on the field. Just the way that that turf is set up. I'm blanking on the name of the turf that we have, like the what it is. I've known it before, but it's just great, man. When dude comes on there and starts saying, like, whose house? I mean, I notably think that that's a corny thing. But when he says, whose house? I'm out there screaming, Rams house. Like, you know, it's just perfect. Number two here, do you think we finally found a punt returner? I know people are going to hate this answer. Let's not overreact to what Powell did. Okay, because a kick returner busted one out. Okay, had, what is it, 65-yard return? Awesome. I was cheering. I think I jumped a little bit. I had some beers, whatever. But let's also not forget that his next one was like 14 yards. Okay, so yeah, his averages were good and stuff like that. But I'm still skeptical. And I think that everybody saw one or two returns and was like, this is it. This is our guy. You know what I mean? And I just think that that's a little bit of an overreaction. I do think that he'll be that guy for the rest of the season probably. But I'm not sure if I'm ready to lock in that, hey, we found our guy. Let's not let him go. I don't think I'm ready to do that yet. I just want to see a little bit more. And then number three, when we beat Arizona on Monday, do you think we will win out the rest of the season? I'm not sure if the Rams win out because we always get those games where kind of just like it just doesn't feel right. You know what I mean? It's happened plenty of times that the Rams just they'll come out in a game unnecessarily flat. So, I mean, we've seen it before. Actually, you know what? Give me just 2 seconds here. I forgot I was going to put on my Comptomania shirt and then we'll get back into the rest of the quesos. All right. That's so much better. Feeling good now, man. Feeling good. Comptomania. I might be the only person in Colorado with this shirt. That's pretty sweet. Pretty sweet. All right. Next one here comes from Chris. Was that the bounce back game or that the Rams needed? And, will they keep the momentum? Is McVay holding back until the playoffs? And will he open up the books and go all out? Was that the bounce back game? It sure feels like it, man. 30-point win, the good balance on offense. Defense played really strong, played fast. So it kind of does feel like that. Is McVay holding back? I don't think so. I don't think that he would do that necessarily because we're also sitting at a 5 seed right now. And it's not like we went into the season like, all right, guys, we're heading out for week 1. Everybody all three. Like, 5 seed on three, like wild card on three, you know, like no one's doing that. So I wouldn't say that he's holding back, but I would say that I think that the playoffs give him a little bit more of a this is it kind of vibe. And I think we've seen that already. I think we've seen that like in the playoff game that we had against the Cowboys. I think we've seen it even against the Falcons. We saw that, I think. Definitely against the Saints. Kind of feels like everything was left out in that one. So I think that it kind of brings out the best in McVay of saying, like, well, we have to, like, no point in holding back now kind of thing. But I don't think he's on purpose holding anything back right now. Felipe, what game plan should the Rams have going into Monday night to defeat the Arizona Cardinals? Well, I would at least like a game plan, which is not something that I felt like we had in week 4. Kind of felt like the Rams just kind of let that game happen to them instead of controlling it themselves. So that's really what I'm looking to see here. I want to win time of possession and then try to do something with Kyler Murray. Whatever that happens to be, whatever Raheem Morris believes is the right course there, I think we should just go for that, okay? So, like, if the Rams are going to be in a situation where they want to try to contain Kyler into that pocket, I want to see evidence of them trying to do that. If the idea is going to be to flush him out, then let's see that kind of stuff, okay? If the idea is to confuse him, let's see that. I just want to see something in the game plan. But on offense, I want to see balance again. That was perfect. And then I want to see the Rams win the time of possession. Of course, that should always be your game plan. But specifically against this Arizona Cardinals defense, I want to see just some more aggression on the defensive side of the football. It's a very talented roster over there, so you got to just be aggressive. Jason, why oh why such a lack of in-game adjustments overall this season? If we are up at half, then we win. If not, we lose. Jason, this is coming from Des Moines, Iowa. So thank you, Jason, out from Iowa. That's awesome, man. Let's see. That's hard to answer, man, because I already don't have a lot of faith in Raheem Morris. And one game against the Jags where the defense played really well didn't just magically change my mind on that. So I don't know. I agree with you, though. Why are we not seeing the in-game adjustments? I wish I had a real answer for that, but I'm not in that locker room, man. Like, if I was there, I would have something more, I guess, to give you, and I feel bad that I don't really have, like, anything to give for this answer, but I just don't think we're seeing it because I don't know, man. It's hard to tell. But yeah, you're right. We're not adjusting. It doesn't feel like it, at least. It doesn't feel like it. It doesn't look like we're adjusting out there. What would be your game plan on offense and defense to beat the Cardinals? Yeah, we kind of talked about that a little bit. Definitely try to get the balance going on offense. Run the football, especially if Hendo can come in. We can get Hendo and Sony, keep them fresh throughout the game, and then just make sure that we're if they're taking out Cooper Kupp, that we're hitting our other guys like OBJ, not just forcing it to Kupp. And then I would like to see more aggression on defense. Next one here from Jeff. Do you see the Rams changing punters next season? Man, I kind of hope not, because Johnny Hecker is the absolute man. He's, like, on pace to be, like, one of the best punters of all time. So I hope we don't, but I think he's doing fine, too. I don't think, like, he's obviously not in his prime anymore, just kind of like Aaron Donald, not in his prime. They're still amazing players, though. And I don't necessarily see a reason to move on from Johnny. I don't see any evidence of, like, oh, man, hopefully we can find somebody else this season. You know what I mean? I just don't see it. Next one here from Jeff. What is your favorite place to eat / drink while in Los Angeles / Inglewood last weekend? Oh, you know what? We were stopping by a lot of just, like, regular little food carts and stuff, man. It wasn't anything too nuts. I really wanted to check out some sick Italian, but I did not get to do that, unfortunately. But my favorite place, I mean, if we're talking SoFi, that Korean barbecue, guys, it's kind of changed my life a little bit. It was delicious. It was delicious. Let's see. When will Cam be back? That one's from Zach. That's actually to be determined, Zach. I actually don't have an answer for you on that one, unfortunately. So, he's not been activated yet, in any capacity. So, like, he hasn't even started his 21-day clock yet. And I'll be honest, I just don't think, like, if he comes back, he's going to be that high impact. He's coming off of, like, you know what I mean? Like, he's never had training camp. He hasn't played all year. I think right now we're looking fine at running back. Mekhi Sargent is not a bad player. And then ahead of them, we've got Daryl Henderson and Sony Michel. So I don't think it's even that urgent to get Cam Akers back. I think Cam Akers is a very good player, but let's not pretend like every NFL team in the NFL right now, every team doesn't have two or three backs who are starters. All right. So, I mean, running backs are kind of all over the place, and that's why they're not getting paid anymore, stuff like that. But if Cam Akers does come back, I'm not sure it's going to be that high impact. Rams house.
Whose house?
This is not a question, but I'm still upset the Rams didn't take Creed Humphrey, who is the number one ranked center in the NFL. Yeah, I mean, the only thing that I could say to this one, man, because I realize it's not a question, but the only thing I could say to this one is you can look at every single draft from 2021 all the way back to when they had like 400 rounds. You can always look and be like, oh, we should have went with that guy. Should have went with that guy here. Should have went. Yeah, it's always possible. And I like that because that just means scouting is not perfect. You don't actually know. You can't just look at a guy and say 100% this is our guy. He's going to crush it for us. It's so rare that that can happen. I mean, everybody thought Jamarcus Russell and Ryan Leaf and Sam Bradford and all these guys were going to be awesome. We all thought that. Everybody was kind of like in agreement. Like, these are very talented players that probably, they'll probably kick all the butts. And it just doesn't happen. And I mean, Rams with tackles forever was the problem. But I mean, you can always go back and look at them and say, we should have taken this guy. There's 23 teams that say they should have taken Steven Jackson. You know, there's only a couple of players that you look at in that class ahead of Steven Jackson where you're like, oh yeah, that was a good move. That's better than Jackson. You know what I mean? So I get it, but I try to never go back and look at old drafts and see who we could have gotten because it'll always make you sad every time. Let's see here. Next one here from Rams House. I've preferred Sonny Michel all season as running back one. I think because of Daryl Henderson's injury past, it has been holding him back to be the running back Rams fans want him to be. But the Rams drafted him to be a compliment to Todd Gurley back at the time he was drafted. He was never supposed to be running back one. What are your thoughts on the running back situation? You're absolutely right. He was not ever anticipated to be the number one running back. He was always in, like, we were always anticipating that he would be a compliment back. But then he's also played really well, so let's not forget that. But I think that he does best in a rotation. I think that he does best, like, I almost want to see where it just split drives. You know what I mean? Like, I almost want to see this is Sony's drive, this is Hendo's drive. This is Sony's drive, this is Hendo's drive. I almost want to see that because I think that they both have their strengths. I think that they both have their weaknesses. But I would like to see that kind of situation. But yeah, if the Rams had the guy, then Henderson is, I think, a better back. He's a better back to come in and spell that top guy than to just be the top guy. So hopefully the Sony rotation kind of does that in a weird way. You know what I mean? Just kind of puts it in there. So I'll give you that one. Let's see. If you could bring back a Ram from their retirement to play in their prime in this 2021 Ram squad, who would it be? Oof. I mean, gotta think Steven Jackson in this Rams offense would be unbelievable. But also, I mean, we can also say Marshall Faulk for that one as well. Any of these running backs, really, because that is kind of a situation. But I mean, specifically Steven Jackson with that power, I think that in this Rams offense would be unbelievable. But other than that, if the Rams weren't running the 3-4, I would say James Laurinaitis because Rams all-time leading tackler, dude was all over the place. And I just don't remember ever seeing a game from him where it was like, oh man, Laurinaitis was just kind of off today. I don't remember seeing that. So those would be my main picks here, especially if we're going recent years. Steven Jackson, James Laurinaitis, love those guys. I thought they were awesome, and I thought, unfortunately, they were on some bad teams. What is Van Jefferson's favorite beverage? Dude, Van Jefferson does not seem very flashy to me. He doesn't seem like overly obnoxious. He just seems like he just kind of does his job, does it well, and kind of just goes home. He's like kind of quiet and stuff like that. But there's a little bit of flash to him. Just a touch of that, you know, chaos in there. He's chocolate milk. I've really got to read those ones before and not give my answer just off the cuff. Have I said chocolate milk before? Crud. I think I've said chocolate milk before. If I have, lemon water. I don't know why that feels offensive. I feel like that's rude. Anyway, next one here. What was your favorite part about being at the Rams-Jags game last Sunday? I don't have enough time to get into that question to say all the things that I loved. But for the game itself, what I loved was being able to see this team, to being able to see Jalen Ramsey, Aaron Donald, Von Miller, Odell Beckham Jr., Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Andrew Whitworth. To see those guys in person, unbelievable. I absolutely loved that. That was incredible. And that's hard to explain. When you're seeing these guys, guys like Von Miller, who I date back to watching when he was at Texas A&M, you know, and you're seeing them out there, and it's, you kind of have those moments. And I don't know if you guys have these moments. I have these moments at concerts. I have these moments at sports games. Like, I have these moments where, like, I'm really watching them right now. Like, when I see, like, the Scorpions, it's like, man, I'm really watching Klaus right now. When I'm watching the Rams, it's like, man, that's really Von Miller out here. That's really Jalen Ramsey. You know what I mean? Like, it's those kind of moments to me that are absolutely unbelievable. But on the other end of that, what I'll say is I think that Trevor Lawrence is still going to have an absolutely incredible career. And now, forever, I will be able to say that I saw him in his rookie season. He didn't play great. He didn't have, like, a crazy stat line or anything like that. But I did get to see him in his rookie season, and that is something that I'll kind of hold on to as well. Last couple here. Let's see here. We'll start with this one here. Who would be a better motivational speaker at a high school anti-bullying assembly? Sean McVay, Les Snead, Jalen Ramsey, or Aaron Donald? I've got to think it's Aaron Donald, right? I mean, I think that for an anti-bullying assembly, I think that would be the one. Like, if you're somebody in school and you don't have to put stuff or whatever, I was definitely bullied in school. It's whatever. I'm like 30 now. I don't care anymore. But like, if you did go through that or are going through that, it can be rough. You know what I mean? It's definitely lame. But I think that if Aaron Donald showed up when that was happening to me and kind of gave some speeches and stuff like that, I think that would have been a game changer, man. I mean, seeing somebody like Aaron Donald who just goes to work and is the best at what he does like that, and he's also such a genuine dude, I think that hearing from him would be unbelievable. And so I would think Aaron Donald, but I almost think that if it was Aaron Donald and Andrew Whitworth, you could not beat that. You could not beat that. I don't know, and this is not intended to be a shot, I don't know if Jalen Ramsey would do a good job at that. Because I feel like Jalen Ramsey is a bully. You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know if his advice would be very good. Like, he'd be like, all right, guys, if you guys want to really bully somebody, if you really want to get into somebody's head, like, I don't know. It's I don't know if Jalen would be the best for that one. And I'm not trying to take a shot at Jalen. Love Jalen. Definitely one of my favorite players. He's not above Jordan Fuller. Jordan Fuller for president. Hashtag Jordan Fuller for president. I just don't know if Jalen's the guy for that, I guess, is my response to that. And then Peo also, last one here, is going to be, have you ever got in trouble because of your Rams fandom? Depends on your definition of trouble, man, because I can absolutely say that I've lost relationships because of it. I've been told, like, you take this way too serious. Like, I can't do it. And like, in my first thought, it's like, well, this sucks. But then it's also like, well, the Rams would never leave me. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's fine. But like, I've definitely gotten in trouble, like in certain jobs and stuff like that, for like looking stuff up or watching highlights or something like that. People are like, get to work or whatever. But like, nothing too bad. I would say that that's the one, is that, like, I can count, like, multiple relationships / potential relationships that I've lost because of my Rams fandom, and I don't care at all. Like, that's not me sitting here being, like, feel bad for me or anything like that. It's fine. I don't care. If you can't handle it, my Sheriff Joe bags, you don't deserve me, my Joe Branham. You know. All right. That's going to do it for our fan cases, though. Thank you guys so much for dropping those. Genuinely appreciate those, guys. It's one of my favorite segments. I let this one go over all the time because I just love answering these questions and having some fun with them. So thank you, guys. And we'll keep on posting those in the community board on YouTube channel. And then also, if you guys want to add me on Facebook, you can ask them there as well. My name is Joe Branham. I'm very reachable. I'm definitely out there. My profile's public, so if you even just want to follow, that's fine too. So do whatever you gotta do. It's mostly just Ram stuff. I'll be honest with you. My personal Facebook is mostly just Ram stuff. I don't even know last time I posted something it wasn't Rams. It's been a while, I think. But that's not everybody loves that, but that's not my problem. They can unfollow me. It's their choice to be there. So but that is going to do it for me. Make sure you guys follow Ram Showcase and all your favorite social media. That would be at Ram Showcase on Instagram and Twitter, facebook.com/Ram Showcase. You can follow myself as well at Sheriff Joe Bags on Instagram and Twitter, facebook.com/Sheriff Joe Bags. We try to keep it pretty simple there. If you guys have not already, make sure you guys subscribe to the YouTube channel. Or if you guys are on Fansided and listening on RamblinFan.com, then definitely head over to the YouTube channel. That's where most of the magic happens. If you guys are watching me on YouTube, then any article that you read on RamblinFan.com, you can also listen to me right on that page with an embedded player there. And then you can also follow Ram Showcase just like that. So that is going to do it for me, though. I am Sheriff Joe Bags. This has been Ram Showcase on Sports World Radio and Fansided. For those of you who aren't Rams fans, our thoughts and prayers are with you. For those of you who are Rams fans, thank you guys so much for listening, and you guys have a great night.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.